Good morning, friends. Greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each of whom is a teacher. Job said, "Who teacheth like him?" referring to God. Most common name for Jesus was Rabbi, teacher. And the Holy Spirit teaches us. Holy Spirit wants to shape our culture, whether it's at church or at school or at home. He's the writer of Scripture. I'd like to turn to Colossians 3 for several verses as far as a difference in culture. Colossians chapter 3 describes the old culture in verses 8 and 9 of Colossians 3. Which I shall read. "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And then there's the new culture, verse 12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." So a few characteristics of this new culture. That of kindness. I remember after being at my present school for several weeks, a first grader fell into the mud. And I don't remember the incident specifically very well, but I evidently picked him up and comforted him. And then he went home and told his parents that Brother Bean is such a kind man. It happened to be the bishop's son, so it sort of set me in a good light there, I think. But lots of students are muddied, maybe not by literal mud, but by personal idiosyncrasies or bad habits or whatever that we can help them with. Humility. Read of one teacher who, when he made a mistake on the chalkboard, and this was pointed out to him, he said, "I just did that to see if anyone would catch on." Well, the students knew that was not the case, and he lost a lot of credibility. Patience or long-suffering with the slow learner. And it might be tempting as you are there trying to help the person who's struggling with their math or their reading. You know, why can't this child catch on? And it may be tempting to, sort of roll your eyes. And other students might catch that as well. Forbearance, forgiveness, love. Not a bad exercise to think about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, as it applies to you in the classroom. Gratitude. It mentions be thankful. Remember one year, I had a smaller class, but this was around Thanksgiving time. And so we started making a list of things for which we were thankful. And after 500, I think we sort of put the pen away and concluded that there are a lot of more things yet, but we went on to something else. I'd like to reinforce something Brother Neil said yesterday, his advice that when we come into a new school, we don't immediately try to change the rules of the game and make it the way we're used to playing it. However, I think there are ways of courteously adapting things and shaping it. And our topic this morning is school culture, shaping it. We can introduce a variation, for example, of a game. We play volleyball at school, as I suppose many of your schools do. But we introduce it with a game called Nukem Ball, which has the same court and the same ball and the same positions and the same rotation as volleyball. But we start off by this would be maybe grade four or so, five, throwing the ball over the net, and then the receiving team catches it and throws the volleyball to a second person, who throws it to a third person, who tosses it over the net, and back and forth. So they get the idea of how volleyball is played in general. And then we teach them to serve the ball from the serving location. And again, they catch the ball and toss it to two other people and until the ball hits the ground. So, just variations of things that we can adapt and shape. Let's think first of all of the potential of school culture. School culture can be enhanced, can be broadened in a way that honors God. A Bible-centered curriculum, or simply motivating students to do things that they beyond what they would normally do. So a number of years ago, I presented a challenge to grade 7 to 10 in my class to read as many books as they could that year. And every time the class total of books reached 100, and every student had to contribute at least one book, I said, we'll have a book party consisting of food and games and some extra oral reading by the teacher. So the way it worked, the students needed to read or reread a book that they hadn't read since the end of school in June, needed to be at least 100 pages in length and at least on a fourth grade level, and the book could come from the school library or from other places. And so then they would put the name of the book and the student name neatly on a brick. It was just regular size of a brick. And then using stick tack, we built a wall at the back of the back classroom wall. And so we had, by the end of the year, just about a solid wall of book bricks in our classroom. I remember in September, we had the average number of pages read was 2,000 per student. And they continued on through the year, and we had quite a few book parties that way. One parent reported that I've never seen my daughter read voluntarily at home before. It was English as a second language situation there. But there was a lot of enthusiasm for reading books. Of course, some of students don't need any encouragement to read more books, but there's a lot of learning that comes about, particularly in the field of history and vocabulary and reading comprehension from reading. School teachers and parents and students can positively shape the present school year and the future school life as time goes on. There may be traditions that can be reshaped. For example, Christmas, I'm aware that in years gone by anyway, some schools had Christmas plays, well, some still do that I'm aware of. Maybe have a change that to a Christmas program that focuses on worship. Instead of students making fun of each other or having a condescending attitude, change that culture to appreciation and consideration. Instead of prejudice toward people who have a different skin color or background, change that prejudice to understanding. This morning I'd like to speak particularly of three topics: mission awareness, shaping students' concept of missions, secondly, healthy student relationships, and thirdly, school traditions. First of all, then, mission awareness and preparation. I think it's wise if there's a common understanding about mission work by school personnel and parents. We should, for example, understand that God may call any of his children to serve him in a different location than the present one, whether in North America or in foreign missions. Also that mission work is desirable, it's honorable, it's worthy of our greatest efforts. So I think school should be ready to release school personnel, and parents should be willing to see graduating students leave home for mission work with their blessing. You know, God calls everyone to his service. It's the sphere of service that changes or is different from person to person. It may or may not involve going to a different place in a different culture. So, what can we do with our students to get them enthused about or more open to mission endeavors? We can, first of all, adopt a missionary with prayer support and letters and offerings. We might read missionary stories. Here's one. A missionary couple in Africa were asleep. During the night, the wife woke up, felt something isn't quite right. She had this feeling of danger. She quietly awakened her husband. And there was a bit of moonlight coming through the window, and they cautiously looked around and saw there was a snake coiled up ready to strike. The man carefully reached for his gun and shot the head off this poisonous snake. They had a friend in Alberta, and one day she was sweeping the floor. She got this strong urge that she should pray for her missionary friends in Africa. So she stopped what she was doing, knelt down and prayed for some time until she felt that the missionaries were all right. Later they had opportunity to visit with each other in Alberta. They got talking about this experience, and the Alberta lady said, what day was this, and when was this? And they compared, and they found out it was an identical day and time when she had felt the strong urge to pray. Or on a child's level, here's another story about a snake. A missionary boy called John, I think it was in Zaire, had friends, and it was a very poor area of Africa. And so they didn't have much protein in their diet, and so they would go with their slingshots and try to kill birds or rats or monkeys or something to eat. And as they were walking along a narrow trail in the jungle, they said, oh, there's a bird. And so they got ready to try to catch that bird, hit the bird with a slingshot, and John wasn't watching where he was going, and he stepped on a snake, the most poisonous or rapidly acting toxin that the snake had. Anyway, it looked like he was going to die, or at least be seriously endangered. It so happened, if that's the right term, that this snake had, a few minutes before this, encountered a rat and opened its jaws and started working that rat down its gullet. If snakes have gullets, anyway. And so when the snake went to dig its fangs into John's leg, it couldn't, because the rat was there, and John was kept safe. Well, we can read some missionary stories. Or we can show pictures of school children on mission areas. These pictures come from Guatemala. You might have read Awaiting the Dawn. This is the house where John Troyer and Marie lived in Guatemala. had an opportunity to visit it about a year ago. It's been moved to a different location. But this is the house. That's the door. A closer view. And the bullet hole. And learning about other cultures and needs, spiritually and physically. What else can we do? We can invite missionaries to school to talk to the students. You know, machetes and snakeskins and stuff like this can be interesting and can help to awaken interest in missions, but emphasis should be given to the difference that the gospel makes in the lives of people. We can assign memory work about evangelism and missions, especially to older children. We can teach world geography. This is one of the big reasons for learning about places in the world. And parents again, and teachers, by having maps of the world, can increase awareness on the part of students. I know our third daughter, as she entered her teenage years, felt some call to be a missionary, and so she had above her bed on the ceiling a big world map and different, particularly the 1040 window, I think is what she was concentrating on, and she then went to El Salvador and now is living, I think, permanently in Guatemala with Mennonite Air Missions. Talk about international current events. And some of this has to do with persecution of missionaries and of Christians. Teach a foreign language. And the English grammar comes into play here, because in a place like Ukraine, I remember them telling me, their missionaries, that in order to learn the Russian or Ukrainian language, they first of all had to teach these Americans or Canadians English grammar, so they have a basis to understand a different language. Certainly another language will help if they go to a place that does not speak English. Visit a mission field or go as a class, do whatever job is, and prepare students academically. So, some graduating classes, our school just goes to grade 10, but some goes to the end of grade 12, and so they might go to, I guess you might go to, I don't know where you'd go here, Los Angeles, or students around Southern Ontario might go to New York City or to Toronto. Let me speak next about shaping culture in terms of healthy relationships among students. So here we have some pictures of older ones helping younger ones. We play a lot of hockey in my part of Ontario. So here we have, it looks like a foot washing service. It's actually a skate tying exercise by my students helping the first and second graders tie their skates. Here we have some older students helping the younger ones build a great, I think they're going to make a great big snowman here. And here they are just interacting with younger children, telling them some stories. So, some intergenerational, inter-age group anyhow, activities can be helpful, but probably you'll need to be intentional in a larger school to make this happen. Boy-girl relationships. It can be a problem. It's nice when it's not. I've had encountered this about twice, I think, of a serious nature in my teaching years. But when we You got teach students that are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There's likely going to be some sparks, some attraction, some interest there. So how do we handle that? Well, I think we can give teaching to adolescents. I might point out, I try to be proactive in this and discuss it before it's likely to occur, that it's okay to admire someone, to have a liking for one of the opposite gender. But rather than telling the other person of your liking for them, or telling your friends about your admiration for a certain boy or a certain girl, I encourage them to tell God all about it. Or they can come and talk to me about it if they wish. Boy-girl special relationships between boys and girls invariably leads to cliques in my problem, in my experience, rather. It can be quite a problem. And to explain that, yeah, crushes are common. I mean, it's normal to have an attraction as we mature and grow older. But encourage students to be a friend of all. Sometimes we go to the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of male-female relationships. And I'm saying aim for a comfortable yet respectful attitude toward the opposite gender. On the one hand, we have some schools, the boys are here and the girls are way over here. And if anyone is of the boys is seen talking to the girls, and it's a conclusion that they like each other and they're a couple and all this sort of thing. I don't think that's the proper way to have it. On the other hand, you can have too free a mingling of the genders, and too casual an approach. So, I like to see some mingling between the girls and the boys, and some conversation just of a friendly nature. But it's a little tough for them to strike a balance, and sometimes a little hard for us to strike a balance also as we give guidance to them. So that's a few things about healthy relationships. And now I'd like to devote some time to developing school traditions. First day of school, or during the first week of school, because often our first day of school, there's so many other things going, but some schools have some special stuff going on the first day of school. Here we have some, I think this was something a lot of stuff is homemade by me. This is trying to put them in groups of 10 or something like that, and then stretch as far as they could from one end to the other and see who could make the longest line, I think is what that is about. Either that or they're totally flaked out from the weekend. Or a little activity like this. You can see here that they have to look ahead, and they have a water in their glass, and then they have to pour it into this glass, but they're a little bit, trajectory isn't quite right there. This has a little bit of a bath happening there, I think. And then they have to see how much water they can get into the pail that's behind the last one. So that's a little activity for a picnic, or in this case, a first week of school. Or boys will like things like pyramids. Have to be careful with this because there can be injuries. This was an activity here where they used toilet paper, I think it was, and tried to have the most attractive, or I don't know if it's attractive or what it was. Anyway, it was fun to do. If I would have been the one who was being wrapped up, I'm pretty sure they would have left this not open. this looks like human croquet. So they, you know how to play a game of croquet, so they're two at a time, but at the end then they make a big long line and go through and have older students holding their hands up like this. I'd have to run through. I have to be a little careful here. I had a broken or dislocated shoulder one time because I had a grade 7 boy pulling a grade 2 boy along, and their speeds didn't quite match. Many of you have an annual school picnic, I'm sure. This is an activity with the parents, the husbands being blindfolded, and I think they were supposed to feed their spouse or something. And setting off balloons sometimes, and singing at the program. Usually have about a half-hour program at our school picnics. These are things that have just developed over the years that I've been there. Here's a graduating class, and typically they choose a song that sort of expresses their desires for the future, and then sing it for the audience and for the younger children. We have a very simple graduation. I have a diploma that I give to those who are graduating from grade 10. We have Christmas programs in the church, and that's the Fairhaven Church building. Fairhaven Church sponsors the school. That's the entire school there. That's one of the younger grades. And there I am leading a group of a ladies' chorus of sorts. There are other days like Grandparents' Day that some schools have where the grandparents come in and interact and have some special things presented to them. We have what's called a Singing and Speech Day, and I'll explain a little about that. I mentioned the other day that we have been singing through Zion's praises, and so on an afternoon, usually spend about an hour with about 10, no, more like 15 students giving a speech that they've given in class before. Not necessarily the best speeches, but those that I think would have the greatest interest for adults. And then we spend an hour and a half or so singing through a songbook. February can be a little dreary, I suppose, even in Oregon. And here we have a North American native teaching one of the students. So he came in and actually is my brother-in-law. And he taught leather because he had learned how to work with leather. Something called Toy Week in the first couple of grades. So we have the girls allowed to bring their dolls in, and they're buying things at the store here, I think. And here they're having a church service, and it's amazing the noise that the babies make and how they have to be taken out. And sometimes I join the group and sing with them. Or anyway, they usually have a preacher, but it's not according to 1 Timothy 3 because it's It's not a male that comes in there to preach. But some of the girls are pretty good at it, it seems. And then the boys have their equipment that they come and play with for. So it's a little variation. 100 days, I'm not so keen on this, but some of my fellow teachers are. And so these are a tradition around the school. This, I think, is a cake. And this is glasses, some spectacles with 100. They're sort of cute. They came this last year. And they wear a crown. I'm not sure what the crown has to do with 100 days, but anyhow. 100 day cake, yeah, and they get to wear their crowns all day. And doing things all about 100. Anyway, you can vary that. Special meals. The teacher that teaches grades 1 and 2 likes to introduce all kinds of new foods and tastes, and you can see this fellow is pretty happy about what he's tasting. This would be an Indian meal, of course, eating on the floor. So, that's a good way to connect with missions as well, as far as that goes. And lastly, I'd like to talk about some what I call special activity days. So I'll devote a little time to this in case it strikes a chord with you. This is simply a day, usually in the spring, about April or so, before the farmers in Ontario are on the land, in which students give a presentation to parents and grandparents and people from the community, and there's usually another school or two or three or some homeschoolers in the area that come and see the demonstrations, the experiments, the displays. This particular lady bought some rats, and you can see there cage 1, 2, and 3. And then she tried different diets. One was on a strong sugar diet. And I think most of the rats survived, much to my wife's displeasure. But some of them got, you know, are seriously experienced serious malnutrition, and some got along fine. So that was the experiment that she was trying. These little presentations are about 5 minutes in length. This was the students in an old-time school with a slate here and a lantern and so on. The student had rounded up an old steam engine. And so the idea is that when parents and whoever comes, then I place them in a group of about 6 or 8 people. And we have about 35 different stations, we call them, we number them, and they go from 1 to 2 to 2 to 3 and so on. And it's intended to be interactive with the student teacher here. This is fellow's about grade 7, I think. Anyway, you see him talking to a group of children there. And so they gather the group around and they try to ask an intriguing question or some interesting fact. What do you think will happen when I do this or when you do this? They might get a volunteer. So they have to research a topic. This would be from a geography day. Prepare a talk with interaction. Make a poster and get the display or the apparatus ready. And it's usually a 2-day thing, because the first day the students see each other's presentations from the different grades. This would be grades 5 to 10, sometimes grades 3 to 10, working together either individually or as a family. So one of these days I call Bible Day, and I'll present a few of these for your thinking. And so got this idea from Steve Brubaker, actually. He said when he was in school, a teacher let him, or Sunday school or something, I just remember the basic idea that it had something to do with one of the minor prophets, and a woman was in a basket and she flew out of the basket. That's poor theology, but anyhow, that was the thing. I thought, okay, I could maybe have my students choose a Bible book and then make a display about it and do something like that. So this is the first few days of Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis, the different days there, and there's the snake and so on. And this would be the latter part of Genesis. So sometimes they would have the same book if it's a big book like this. But you can see the ark there and the Tower of Babel and some questions that this boy was asking. This is the book of Nehemiah. So here's Nehemiah words and some Hebrew writing. And there they did quite a bit of work to make that stone wall. And they named the different gates and so on and talked about the book of Nehemiah. Miracles of Jesus, Book of John. So what do we got here? I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am the door, I am the way,
What else do you see there?
Light of the world, thank you. Truth. Book of Ephesians. So here this guy got himself a helmet. And he's got a sword. And he's obviously the armor, Christian armor. And here's the apostles and prophets and the church built on that. And different themes from the book of he and his sister had put together. And this would be... Luke, I guess? Birth of Christ, death of Christ, resurrection of Christ. I think they would have told some stories. Book of Matthew. They made the sower and the talents. Well, here's the wise men. At least they're not coming up to the manger. They got that part right, unlike many Christmas cards. The tabernacle. This... former doll of the Salvation Army, biggest one that the student could find, is dressed up. You know, it's the high priest. This is Aaron, we call him. He's got the mitre and he's got the jewels there on the breastplate, and he's got bells down here, and he's all dressed up, and he's close to the tabernacle, the brazen altar, and so on. And I'm not sure if it's altogether built to scale, but I think they tried to do that. And then they explained about things with the tabernacle. What's this? Must be Exodus. Baby Moses there looking fairly content. And the Ten Commandments. Solomon, this chap, built the temple. I think this was to scale. Gives you an idea. And then there's the baby that's not hacked in half. Book of Job with a potsherd. This is Ruth and Naomi, as I recall. Yeah, it is. And they had quite a dialogue about leave me not and so on and what was happening there. And had some other things there and the wheat harvest and so on. What's this? Oh, this looks like Samson. Yeah, Book of Judges. The pillars and the rope and the fruit of the vine. What is this? Must be, Daniel in the lion's den. That's the lion's den, believe it or not. And things that Daniel would not partake of. So, I'll just breeze over this. There's some values. It's good for those who work with their hands, not so good with their reading skills. And so they've, as you can see, and I'll show you further, things that they have built, models and so on. So it's a way of involving those types of skills. Teaches students to organize their ideas and their displays. So it has value that way educationally. It's an opportunity for oral presentation, and that's good thing for people like I was, who was so extremely shy and hated. I would have hated this kind of day, but generally my students love it, and they enjoy seeing what other students have put together. But we might have 300 people go through, and so a group of six. What's that? About 50 times that they've given their little spiel. So they get to know it pretty well by the end, and of course we encourage them not to be, you know, reading stuff anyhow, but just talking about it and interacting with them. And it encourages involvement by grandparents and neighbors and everybody that comes. And maybe they're impressed and will dig into the pocketbook, who knows. Good thing for the school board. Provides motivation. Something that's different, something that's stimulating and challenging, and they enjoy the work of other students. I've got 10 different values altogether. That's 5. Here's some more. Experience in handling stress, public speaking, or the most nerve-wracking thing for the students is when students come from other schools that are their peers, and they have to talk with them and handle their questions. Can show the danger of procrastination. They learned a lesson that you don't leave it till the last night. And students may teach the class things that you as the teacher did not know. Like for me, it's about robots or flights or about rat diets or whatever the case might be. It's an opportunity for a parent and their children to interact. We encourage minimal work by the parents, but you know they have to be involved in purchasing things sometimes or transporting them, these models that the students have made. And of course, it provides variety. So I don't know if you've had science fair. These things are not really a science fair thing where they're competing against each other. It's just a way of teaching additional things and practice in actually teaching other people. So we've had a variety of special days. I think I started off with a science day years ago, very low-key. Little experiments that they could do and explain something about sound or about gravity or whatever. So let me show you a few other things in case it stimulates some ideas in your mind. That's one value of this sort of institute, is a cross-pollination of ideas. So here's some pictures about Geography Day, Brazil, with different products, Nicaragua, Zambia. This was United Arab United what? United and this chap was dressed up like a sheik. It sort of felt good. He had their facts all down pretty straight, pretty impressive, and there was a public school teacher, high school teacher, that walked in, wanted to talk to me about something, and so she went and listened to this, and it made a fairly favorable impression of our school. So it was China. have had some students of Scottish background. Ukraine. Now, we don't really have everything taken off the wall, so this has nothing to do with happy birthday. It's just that that happened to be what was on the bulletin board when he set up things. I mean, we set up our displays in my classroom and all the other classrooms and the foyer of the church and the basement and the kitchen and all kinds of stuff from Switzerland and pictures of Switzerland. And it's not quite like going to Switzerland, but it gives you a bit of the flavor. In Nepal, this boy had a neighbor who had visited or lived in Nepal, and so I learned a lot of things from about that nation. Belize. And Guatemala. This has got to be the Netherlands, right? That's a flower, the tulips, and the chocolates, and so on. Here you see the group of students gathered around this lad who has visited the Eiffel Tower, the way it looks. There's some pictures from Science Day, capillary action or capillary action, and how she explained how she got these papers and put different colors and made a rainbow. This family did something with air pressure, and they had designed something under the table that if a student or an adult, a grandparent, turned the crank, it blew up a balloon, and all of a sudden, pop! And scared the wits out of the people that were. And then they made a homemade rocket, you know, from went outside and shot this rocket up here. This lad is interested in electrical things, made a bunch of models there. And coming in now are robots, I guess. He's a dairy farmer, but I don't know, they don't have robotic milkers, but he had these little robots trying to find their way through the maze. This girl collects fossils, and So most of them were came from her farm. A few she purchased, I think, but mostly along the lake. Or this family talked about friction, I think it was, and then they made a hovercraft sort of thing, and so they had this leaf blower here and started the thing up, and then it blew the air down here, and you could go scooting all around on this hovercraft. Taped it all up. I had a ride on there too. It actually held me, and yeah, I had a nice ride. A potato gun, not the safest sort of thing, but shot at about 350 feet, something like that. Steam engine, some rocketry. I think he had to buy some stuff there. He didn't make all that. Some interesting things about bubbles. Making a canal sort of thing. Some locks there, the big chute. He's burning a $20 American bill, I think. Maybe it's Canadian, that's not worth so much. Then I thought of the idea of having a special skills day in which students could either develop a skill or show a skill that they have developed. So some handwork there. Here they were building out of popsicle sticks, and this big heavy tire was riding over this little bridge. And carving wood and staining wood and making candles and all this. Boy was showing how to ride a unicycle. I never did catch on. I learned about gravity, though. This boy had built this contraption and started it up, and people could ride it around. And different mechanical sorts of things. Wood burning. This boy was interested in trapping, so he's got a trap here, and then different kinds of furs. Sewing skills, and he's got a digging apparatus here. That he's the son of an excavator, so sometimes it relates to what the parents do. Photography. I didn't know there was Lego for girls of this nature. Fish and aquarium. This boy's father, actually he worked also at a stone splitting, for a stone splitting company. Organic chickens, I think. The boy built this little building for the chickens. Paper folding, origami, I think. Working with leather. Fruit, art, out of, that's a pear, I think, and grapes, and I don't know it all. I'd rather eat it than look at it, I think. Making fudge, Chinese food. Then I thought, 1 year, we do this now about every 8 or 10 years, there's some skills like butchering and working with wood and machinery that my students don't know anything about because it was 50 or 100 years ago. So this involves some grandparents as well. Here they're using an old-fashioned drill. One family is involved in maple syrup, so they showed how maple syrup used to be produced. So they had the fire going. This is usually a two-day thing, and full days, because there they could take more time to explain their exhibit and so on. Tapping trees the old-fashioned way. This family had some old vehicles. Some engines, including that thing that they hauled from an old Arter Amish man. And wood sawing. And laundry and ironing and cheese making. And then we also have a health day, which is somewhat like Science Day, but it has to have a health theme. About their bones and water safety and eating healthy snacks. And the heart, different parts of the heart and blood. Safety on the job. Farm safety. The blessing and trouble with pain. Remember to wash your hands. And if anybody's injured on what that comes along, they'll bandage them up, put a cast on them. Hypertension and things that contribute to high blood pressure. frostbite, the brain, maybe your brain feels about mushy like this after all the input you've been having this week. Fire prevention, electrical safety. His dad is an electrician, so he built this display. Information about Down syndrome. Cooking, carefully. This boy does drive safely. He's, he was in a wheelchair, still is, drives a vehicle. Arthritis, camping safety, our sense of smell. They made a stomach, so now this boy has two of them, I guess. Teeth and how to keep them in good condition. Another thing we did was have collections. I thought, okay, let's have something different for a year. So whatever collection they had, they thought would be suitable, they could bring. So here we have a Lego collection and farm tractor collection and coin collection. Here, by the way, as you might, Canadians might recognize the toonie. Canadian government sort of messed up on that, I think, the mint. There's a polar bear on there. I do not understand why they did not, it's a $2 coin, why they didn't put two male deer on there, $2. Cars, more stones. There's a dairy farmer, Holstein cows. And the case for case. Old calendars came to school. A little bit of money invested in that little collection of tractors and farm equipment. Oh, yes, we got some John Deere people there, too. Mugs. Salt and pepper shakers. You're such a generation, you didn't even know what salt and pepper shakers are. At least not collections, but this family has quite a big collection. This boy likes to go fishing, so he's got all kinds of lures that I didn't know much about. Sticker collections, they're sort of out of style now too, I guess. Lots of plush animals. She doesn't own all those. I think she went into the highways and byways and collected things there. And here you have recipes. And so these folks are interested in cooking and using recipes. Well, this has become part of our school culture. And students remember what they have done for a long time afterwards. Possibly you can use or adapt some of these ideas. And I hope that you will let God shape you and help you to shape your school culture.